welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman, who joins us to discuss the upcoming Farm Bill. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Senate voted to disapprove of the Biden administration's Waters of the U.S. rule. Congressional Republicans and farm groups have criticized the Environmental Protection Agency for moving forward with new WOTUS rulemaking before the Supreme Court had the chance to rule in a critical case. But EPA Administrator Michael Regan has defended the agency's action, arguing this week on Capitol Hill that the new WOTUS rule could be adjusted if required by the High Court's ruling. The resolution of disapproval is headed to the White House, where President Joe Biden has already promised a veto. Meanwhile, a former FDA official says last year's infant formula supply crisis did not cause the necessary changes within the agency to better prevent and respond to food safety concerns. Former Deputy Commissioner Frank Yannis testified before the House Oversight Committee that the current food safety system is fragile and could be challenged again. Yannis said a planned reorganization of the FDA to create a new position focused on food safety oversight would be helpful, but will not solve all the issues. And finally, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack defended USDA's actions to recalculate benefits for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Vilsack told the House Ag Committee the recalculation should actually happen more often. The hearing offered some heated debate over SNAP and came after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy sent a letter to President Biden saying House Republicans will seek to tighten welfare program work requirements in upcoming debt ceiling talks. Controversy over SNAP is nothing new, but Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman says the debate is going to be active on many fronts across Capitol Hill.
It seems like that the House is going to, that's going to be one of the things that they are going to try and get done regarding the debt ceiling, you know, the debt limit. And so, you know, theoretically, that could have all be worked out prior to the Farm Bill. Does that make sense? So debt limit's coming up. There'll be some negotiations there is getting Republican votes to lift that. And right now it seems to be that that's one of the things that's on the table as far as Republicans feel will be work requirements, looking at some of the areas like that.
You mentioned that this could be worked out in the debt limit talks as opposed to within the Farm Bill. But is that, in your mind, the right venue here, approaching SNAP policy through debt limit talks rather than the Farm Bill?
Well, it doesn't, you know, it is what it is. And so the House is going to go forward. They're very concerned, as are we, as are, I think, most of Congress, you know, with the spending that's going on.
Sticking on the nutrition programs within the Farm Bill for a little bit longer here, the USDA, of course, rewrote the Thrifty Food Plan, that SNAP benefits calculation in August of 21. And you have, expressed some concern about the way that the department went about doing that. Is that change going to make it more difficult for you to engender Farm Bill support among some of your more conservative GOP colleagues?
Well, I have real concerns about that, but more importantly, GAO has real concerns about that too. That was supposed to be done in a revenue neutral way. That's what Congress, assumed was going to be done, looking at the CBO score, which was zero. So Congressional Budget Office said it wasn't going to cost anything. The guidelines coming from USDA wasn't going to cost anything. And then all of a sudden we find that a few people, just a handful of people, made decisions that cost the country $300 billion. So I think what makes it hard is that because there's so much money going to that it makes it difficult. There's other programs. We've got a lot of hungry people in the United States right now that need help, particularly our elderly, the working poor. They've gotten a little bump with Social Security and things like that, but it doesn't cover it at all. So when I talk to my food banks and things, there are a lot of people that are suffering, but it really makes it difficult because they've spent so much money in that direction without any hearings, without any advice from anybody, that what it's going to do is drown out any support for the rest of the feeding programs.
We'll be right back to discuss the Farm Bill Safety Net with Senator Bozeman right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. Senator John Bozeman says the upcoming Farm Bill safety net language is going to be a critical factor in determining whether or not he can actually support the legislation.
Well, we're going to have to see, but I can tell you this, that I've met with basically about every farm group that there is, I think. And I believe that the solutions to our problems need to come from the ground up. So I want to meet with these people. I have met with them. We've gone all over the country. I've got 17 states lined up that we're going to be in doing listening tours. And you know what the number one thing is from farmers? Making sure that the safety net is in place that they need so they can go to the bank and borrow the money to go forward. And the data that was used goes back to 2012. The world's very different now than it was in 2012. So I can tell you, you know, there's not going to be a farm bill that I vote for that doesn't take care of the safety nets. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. Why do a farm bill if we're not going to take care of farmers? And all the other things are so very important, conservation. But when you think about it, farmers are the ones that make all that work. And if you don't have farmers, particularly small and medium-sized farmers, again, it just doesn't work. And what does it do to rural America? So these are, you know, big issue. But like I say, I'm not going to support a farm bill that doesn't take care. And we're not talking about a lot of money. We don't know exactly how much. But we're going to have to, you know, if we're going to have Republican support, I think if we're going to have a lot of Democrat support, we're going to have to do that. So I'm committed to working with the chairwoman, and she's committed too, I believe, to finding the dollars that we need so that we can go forward.
So you say that you're not interested in voting for a farm bill that doesn't improve the safety net. And one way that a lot of farm groups have gone about suggesting that is an increase to reference prices. Is the reference price issue with the price loss coverage program specifically going to be an issue on that will carry your vote on this upcoming farm bill, some kind of meaningful increase in reference prices?
Well, I don't see, you know, why we do a farm bill if you don't take care of farmers. Right now, when you look at the farm bill, only 14% of it has anything to do with farmers and agriculture, conservation, all of that. The rest of it is nutrition. So again, you know, we simply aren't going to have a farm bill if we don't do that. In Arkansas, agriculture is about 25% of the economy. You get outside of any town of any size, it's 85 or 90%. That's true throughout America. And again, if you don't take care of the farm community, that's all that's left. There aren't the implement dealers. There's not the gas stations. There's not anything. So this is the foundation. And again, you know, I can't support a farm bill that doesn't make it such that we get our farmers' safety net, not in 2012 days, but back up, you know, now to the situation we're in now, which is really unique, so they can go to the bank, talk to their bankers, and get a loan. And that's going to become even more difficult because of the banking crisis that we're in now. They're getting increased regulation. So all of this goes together. So you're absolutely right. You know, I'm not supporting a farm bill. I won't vote for a farm bill that doesn't take care of our reference prices, doesn't take care of crop insurance. Again, ARC, PLC, and crop insurance, the whole deal.
So then looking ahead, what do you think the timeline, understanding that you've got this end of September, you know, timeline looming on you, and of course the end of the year is kind of another effective deadline. What do you think the committee's timeline needs to look like if you are in fact going to move a farm bill yet this year?
Well, I've had a number of talks with Senator Stabenow, and she's committed, as am I, to getting this thing done. And I'm really very optimistic about us getting it done. I think both sides, you know how important this is. Both sides will consider it a victory. My goal is to get as many votes as we did last time in the thing. So right now we're planning on getting stuff in writing by September.
Very good. Well, we'll keep a close eye on that September timeframe. A lot of things need to happen at the committee level for that to take place, of course, but certainly no shortage of things for us to watch in terms of the actions of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Senator Bozeman, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you as always for having us.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel, but first, our Lydia Johnson walks us through some of the trade programs in the Farm Bill.
The third title in the Farm Bill includes trade programs designed to facilitate exports, address global hunger, and improve worldwide food security. The trade title is one of the smaller provisions in the Farm Bill, with about $4.8 billion in mandatory baseline spending, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Two of the most well-known programs under this title include the Market Access Program and the Foreign Market Development Program, which are used to promote American agricultural goods overseas. The last time Congress increased funding for MAP to the current $200 million was in 2006. For FMD, an increase hasn't happened since 2004, when funding was set at $34.5 million. But the demand for the programs has increased. In the upcoming Farm Bill, many groups are expected to call on Congress to double the funding for MAP and FMD. According to a study prepared for the U.S. Grains Council, a doubling of MAP and FMD funding would generate an additional $44.4 billion in U.S. agricultural exports over a five-year period starting in 2024. Bipartisan and bicameral legislation to double the mandatory MAP and FMD funding has already been introduced in the House and Senate. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Who's replacing petroleum and asphalt? You are. Who mapped the soybean genome for better varieties? You did. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, it all comes back to your bottom line. That's you as your soy checkoff.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are going to continue our conversation on the upcoming Farm Bill with a couple of folks who will be doing some lobbying on the subject. Excited to be joined today by Mary Nowak with the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives and Andrew Walmsley with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Andrew, I want to go to you first because we look at a number of actions that took place this week, a number of kind of signals to watch between Speaker McCarthy's letter to the president on the debt limit. We saw Secretary Vilsack's testimony at a couple of different points in time on Capitol Hill this week, a number of developments to potentially watch on the Farm Bill as the week unfolded here. As we sit here right now, how did the week's events change your thoughts in terms of, you know, whether or not a Farm Bill is going to be able to move this year?
Well, first off, I'm an optimist. I wouldn't be in Washington, D.C. if I wasn't. And so I don't think we try to get too bogged down on what happens each week in Washington, although it does come kind of give a glimpse into what we might project into the future. We did see some movement with Speaker McCarthy's letter around the debt ceiling and some of the issues that they want to maybe address through that process. Of course, the details of that will determine how that impacts the Farm Bill. And we didn't have a lot of details necessarily in that letter. You know, Secretary Vilsack, I think, was what at least I kind of expected in some of the testimony. I didn't get to see all of it. But you saw some of the themes that were emerging that we knew that the House in particular, but the Senate as well, are going to have to work through to eventually get to a bipartisan Farm Bill by the end of the year.
So one of the things that we've seen from the Farm Bureau thus far, both in some positioning statements as well as from votes of the group's membership, was that very interested in increasing commodity supports as well as the overall budget of the Farm Bill. But obviously money is going to be tight in this Farm Bill. That's been a pretty standard expectation laid out by Ag Committee leaders. If they aren't able on Capitol Hill to increase that budget, increase the and kind of bolster that safety net, is Farm Bureau still going to be able to ultimately support the Farm Bill?
Well, if we don't see some meaningful investment, particularly in the commodity title, I think it's going to be very difficult to get a Farm Bill done this year. In the 18 Farm Bill, stated that this was an evolutionary Farm Bill, not a revolutionary Farm Bill. But since then, we've really been living through revolutionary times for rural America and American agriculture. So we've got to see that investment in the commodity title if we're going to be successful in getting a Farm Bill done. Production expenses are way too high to not ignore the volatility that's taking place, and that risk management tools are paramount for producers going forward.
Well, and Mary, I want to bring you into the fold here, because as we look at potential areas for increased investment, we have seen a number of specialty crop producers, including some that are members of NCFC, that rely on increased automation in some of their specialty crop processes. And there have been pushes to consider whether or not the Farm Bill could potentially work toward funding some of the adoption of increased automation across some of these operations. So maybe not drilling down specifically on the issue of automation within the Farm Bill, but speaking more broadly about new ideas and new funding requests within the Farm Bill. What do you think is going to be the budgetary environment that could potentially, will the budgetary environment support those kinds of requests?
That's always the million-dollar question, Spencer, is where will the money come from to support some of the investments, particularly the specialty crop industry needs, but not just the specialty crop industry. Andrew was talking about some other priorities kind of across farm country. I think that will be one of the biggest challenges. We're looking at the debt ceiling conversation over the summer. How will that influence a lot of the requests that the industry has? Automation, you mentioned, is an investment that we have seen in previous farm bills, understanding that there have been challenges coming up with funding then as well. So I think looking at market access, like the MAP and FMD programs, that's another one really big to the specialty crop industry where we're hoping to see continued investment, specialty crop block grant programs. That's another one, research initiatives. And then looking at, even broader to kind of crop insurance availability for specialty crop producers. So yes, we're hoping to see members get really creative and find ways that they can fund some of these really critical, important programs.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
Who increased sales to Egypt 700%? You did. Who's the number one protein in chicken feed? You are. When you pool your resources through your soy checkoff, it all comes back to your bottom line. That's you as your soy checkoff.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. Mary Nowak was on staff with the House Ag Committee during one of the last two times that the Farm Bill went down on the House floor. She says issues that made that take place could be prevalent again in this upcoming reauthorization process.
When you look at, about 85% of the Farm Bill spending is coming from the nutrition title, it puts a big bullseye, quite frankly, on the Farm Bill. Work requirements is certainly something you mentioned hearing a lot about. But one thing that I will say is the four corners that we have that are going to be leading and championing this Farm Bill effort, they're very experienced legislators on these issues. They've been around these conversations. I do have faith that they will figure out a way to navigate the maybe external pressures that they're facing on whether it be crop or not crop insurance, but whether it be work requirements or just additional ways that some members are looking to try to cut the spending in the nutrition title.
Let's zoom out a bit here from maybe some of the programmatic specifics of the bill and just talk about the politics and timing more generally. I wonder, as we get closer and closer to September, closer to, you know, maybe even past then and into the end of this current Congress, how do you think each day that passes changes the politics of discussing whether or not a farm bill can move yet this year and yet on time?
I think we are at a really good pace. The commitment of the Four Corners, again, they are, you know, working to get all of their requests in. Looking on the Senate side, I think they have this week is the deadline for all other senators to submit, you know, their requests for the Farm Bill process. I know the House is going through a similar process. They're starting to, you know, really get deep in the weeds on trying to develop this Farm Bill. So I think they're at a good pace. Will it get done by the end of September? I don't know. But I'm putting my money on by the end of the year.
Okay. So a lot of both formal and informal wagers going on across Washington, D.C. on the timing of the Farm Bill. But Andrea, I want to wrap up the conversation with you and going back to the issue of funding. You know, both NCFC and Farm Bureau have been very active members in the Food and Agriculture Climate Alliance, submitted a number of proposals up to Capitol Hill for things that alliance would like to see, specifically as it relates to conservation, climate, and sustainability policy. But understanding that there was quite a bit of progress made in the Inflation Reduction Act in terms of from a funding perspective, is it going to be possible, you think, to use some of that IRA money, potentially some unspent COVID aid money, as pay-fors in other areas of the bill, or is increases to the budget going to be needed to address through some kind of new money within the budget committee?
Congress is going to need resources, and so I don't think limiting any of those options this early on is a good idea. I even think, you know, you look at CBO and some of the projections that some of those IRA dollars could be lost if they're not repurposed in some form or fashion. Now, how that looks is going to be an art of political science, of course. You know, clearly we're supportive of voluntary conservation programs in Title II. We know those programs are oversubscribed and very popular, but we can't lose sight of the other needs that are facing rural America and production agriculture. And so I think limiting any option at this point would be premature.
Very good. Well, all options are on the table. All discussions are also on the table at this point as we await further House and Senate Ag Committee action on the upcoming Farm Bill. Certainly a number of things to keep an eye on. And Mary and Andrew, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers, but first, our Hannah Pegel takes a look at how specialty crop producers are using risk management programs in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
More and more specialty crop producers are turning to risk management programs, and the next Farm Bill could be a path to expand their options. Specialty crops include fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, horticulture products, and many nursery crops. According to USDA's latest Ag Census, specialty crops accounted for 17% of the total U.S. agricultural sales and 30% of total U.S. crop sales. This chart shows how federal crop insurance coverage for specialty crops has grown steadily over the past 15 years. As you can see, since 2008, program utilization has nearly doubled. Given the wide variety of specialty crops grown and the unique methods utilized in their production, producers that fall into this category generally have fewer effective risk management options than growers of some familiar row crops. The Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance is suggesting new risk management policies that could cover issues like outbreaks of pest and foodborne illnesses that are not covered by traditional crop insurance. Changes could face unique political circumstances due to the high regional concentration of specialty crop production in a small number of states. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. USDA will begin its weekly crop progress reports on Monday. I'll be hosting a webinar Wednesday on export potential in the soybean industry. You can learn more on our website. And finally, look for our Steve Davies at the Conservation Drainage Network's annual meeting Tuesday through Thursday in Maryland. We'll watch everything going on in the world of farm policy at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.